as he's getting ready to leave his disciples on earth. And this is familiar to you, I hope. The call to each and every believer that we are to be about the Lord's business. We're to be about his work. And in whatever way he tasks us with, there's something that he has given the church as a whole. He's given to the church, his followers, to do. And that's found in verse 19. Or he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We're to make those who are following Christ as well. And we do that by carrying the gospel to them, by presenting to them the good news of salvation. And once they have received Christ, then we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one. Then we're to teach them. We're first to proclaim the good news to them. When somebody has received Christ, then we are to baptize them. Then we're to teach them, after that they have come to Christ, all the things that he has commanded us. But then, this seems almost impossible. Because he says to make disciples of all nations. He says to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. So he attaches a promise at the end of it. What I want to do this morning is I want to take us through three promises that are for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those promises are available to you on the condition that you come to faith in Christ, on the condition that you trust him as Lord and Savior. So the first promise that Jesus gave to them was, he said, I will be with you sometimes. Is that what he said? No, he said, I will be with you always, right? So let's say promise number one, I will be with you always. Let's say the whole thing together. We can do that. I will be with you always. That's Christ's promise to his church. Now, it's significant that he says this right before ascending to heaven. Put yourself in the disciples' position just for a moment. Imagine you've been with him for 3 years. You've ate with him. You've been out on the road with him. You've laid down on the and had as your pillow a rock. Surrounded by a campfire with Jesus. You've seen him do many mighty miracles. You've seen him calm the sea. You've seen him, you've been in the boat in that moment when the waves were swamping the boat. And here you knew, and you know, six of you had known that ocean, that sea of Galilee, like the back of your hand, and yet you could not navigate it that night, and you were trying to take anything you could to dump the water out of the boat. And yet the Bible says that the boat was just filling up faster than you could dump it out. You've been in that place where great fear was and seen him stand up and instantly, in a moment, calm everything. You've seen his mighty power, and now you are hoping that Jesus is going to enter into his kingdom and restore all things. And yet you learn that he's about to leave. He's about to ascend back to heaven. And in that moment, what would strike your heart, I imagine, is a little bit of worry. He says, I'm going back to heaven. Now I'm giving you a task. As you've seen me go and declare the message of the kingdom to people around, now you go. I have all authority, and I'm telling you, you go make disciples. And you begin to look around as you see the Son of God ascend up into heaven, and you're wondering, what do we do now? But in the back of your mind is ringing that promise, I will be with you always. But wait, he just ascended to heaven. How is he with us now if he just went back to heaven, if he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God? He's with us now as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ because in John chapter 16, he said, I send you the promise, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, your Helper, who will guide you into all truth, who will keep you and who will empower you and enable you to do what I've commanded you to do. I want to give you a couple of different points about how the Lord is with you. First of all, he's with you to carry out his commission. He's with you to carry out his commission, to carry out the instructions that he's given to all of us. He's with you, empowering you to be able to do that. What that means practically is that you have to realize when you're bumping shoulders with people in this world that even in that moment, you are carrying Christ to your neighbors. That you have within you the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit, if you accepted Him as Savior. And because of that, He will empower you to share with others the good news of salvation. He will empower you to spread the gospel. He will be with you, is what He promised. But not only will He be with you in spreading the gospel, He'll also be with you in the things that you're going to face. One of the things He told His disciples is, listen, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome what? The world. He said people are going to persecute you. They're going to mock you. Don't be surprised by that. They've mocked me and persecuted me. But I'll be with you. One of the things that the Bible says in the Old Testament is God promised to the Israelites, He said, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three companions of Daniel who said, we're going to stand upon what the Lord has said. We're not going to bow down to this idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And so they didn't. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace because you're not going to worship me. And they said, so be it, O king. We want you to know our God is able to save us, but even if He doesn't save us out of your hand, we're going to worship Him only. And so that's what they chose to do. And He throws them into the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar looks up. After his own soldiers died in the process of throwing them in from the heat, he looks up, and what does he see in that fiery furnace? Not just the three men, but a fourth. One like the Son of Man, who was with them in the fire, right? When you are in a hot situation, a fiery furnace situation, God's promise to you is, I will be with you. But he did not say only, I will be with you in the fire. He said, I'll also be with you in the flood. I will be with you in the flood. You remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they were fleeing from the face of Pharaoh and all his army and the chariots, and they come running after them, and they trap them in on the seashore right there. And the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand and your rod over the sea. And he does so, and all that night there's a strong wind and the waves stand up and congeal on either side. And they go through the midst of it on dry ground, through the floods on dry ground. Who was leading them on their way through that? Yeah, the Lord. He was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led them through the mist. He was the pillar of fire that separated Moses and the Israelites from Pharaoh's army and kept them back, kept Pharaoh's army back while they went through. And then he lifted and Pharaoh's army comes rushing in. And the waves come crashing back and destroy all of Pharaoh's army. When you feel like that life is just flooding you with sorrow, God's promise is, I will be with you. I will be with you in the midst of it. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's promise number one. I want you to look with me at promise number two. Would you turn in your Bible? Or they may have it up here on the screen. Yep, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Look with me at what that says. Hebrews 13, 5 says, keep your life from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Why? For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promise number one is, I will be with you to the end of the age. Promise number two is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Will you say that with me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now you say, Brother Nathan, isn't that the same thing? Isn't that two sides of the same coin? Well, yes and no. They deal with two different things, I believe. Promise number one, I will be with you, is a promise that he will empower us and enable us to go through what he's called us to go through. He will empower us and enable us to carry the gospel to the lost. He'll empower us and enable us to do what he's called us to do. The second promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is a promise of security. It's a promise of security. Ron, would you help me out this morning? I did this little illustration this week. I hope it means something to you and everybody else. What's this right here? It's a quarter. Anybody know what's on the front of a quarter, by the way? George Washington. That has nothing to do with today's sermon, but yeah. Absolutely nothing to do with it. God's promise to us that he will never leave us nor forsake us is a promise to the believer that we are secure, eternally secure, in what he's done for us. We're eternally secure in Christ. Our security is not in our work. Our security is not in what we've done. Our security is in what Christ has done on the cross and shedding his blood for our sin, going to the grave, rising again on the third day for our justification. And I want to take you to John. You can turn here if you want. John chapter 10. You don't have to. But in John chapter 10, thanks for standing there patiently, Ron. I got a little ahead of myself. But in John 10, Jesus was talking, and he was talking about sheep. He said, my sheep, this is John 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. That's a promise, right? I've given you eternal life, you will never perish, neither will any man snatch you or pluck you out of my hand. Ron, would you hold your hand out? Let's pretend this morning that this is you. Instead of George Washington, that's your face. All right? Some of you, it almost looks like. But let's picture your face right here. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Ron, this is a high task. Let's say this is the hand of Christ, okay? Yeah, yeah. It's as close as we're going to get this morning. All right? The Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, they shall never perish, neither will anyone snatch them out of my hand. Close your hand in a fist. He's going to hold on to that tightly. I could come over here. He's stronger than me, by the way. I can pry on it. That's why I picked him. I could pry on it, but I'm not getting that quarter out of Ron's hand. The promise is they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went on. He said, my Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all. Neither will any man snatch them out of my Father's hand. Let's pretend this is you again. Ron, hold your other hand out. Let's pretend this is the hand of the Father. Close that up. All right? He says, neither will any man snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now Jesus brings it together. Would somebody read for me, if you have in your Bible, the next words of Jesus? He says, I and my Father are one. Put your hands together like that for me, Ron. I and my Father are one, united. One in essence, one in person. They're part of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son. I and my Father one. Oh. No. You keep it right there. You didn't see that. All right, we're back to our illustration. That was a little moment of human weakness right there. But this is the hand of the Father, this is the hand of the Son, and Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Nobody is going to be able to break into that unity right there. He says, they are in my hand, they are secure, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But God did not end there. We've just went through the book of Ephesians. Because there's three three persons to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We just went through the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that all those who believed in him, Ephesians 1, are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's given them the Holy Spirit, and they are sealed. And what that was talking about back in that day, Paul was referencing like the seal of the emperor, who would put his stamp on something that was to be closed and sealed up, and only him, only the emperor could open it. Anybody opens it against the word of the emperor, it was the penalty of death upon them. Only the emperor could open it. And so what he says, what Paul was saying is, listen, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He has given you, who have trusted Christ as Savior, his Holy Spirit is the sign, is the stamp that says, you are mine. And that's a forever promise. And so those who've put their faith and trust in Christ are in the hand of Christ. They're in the hand of the Father, who are one, and who they're one with the Holy Spirit, who has also sealed them. There is security in that right there. The promise that I will be with you even to the end of the age is a promise of empowering you, of walking with you through life's journey. The promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you is a promise of security. Somebody says, well, can I lose my salvation? I could take you to a lot of different verses. Thank you, Ron. You can keep those. That way you can't ever say, I didn't give you nothing. Somebody says, can I lose my salvation? I tell them, no, because you never found it to begin with. He found you, and he keeps you. Peter says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. How limitless is the power of God? How infinite is its power? There's no reaching the end of the power of God, and he says that's the power that keeps you in him. You're secure in Christ. But there's one more promise I want to tell you this morning. And it's found in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14 verse 1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Promise 1 is, I will be with you even to the end of the age. He's with us to empower us and to keep and to enable us to do his will. Promise 2 is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's our security, that we are safe in the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. Promise number 3 is, I will come again and take you to myself. Promise 3 is our blessed hope. Promise 3 is the hope that purifies us. It's the hope that says, as we go through life and the troubles and the trials in this life, it's the hope that says, we look up and we say, Lord, come quickly. The promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples before going to the cross, this is the night before going to the cross, knowing everything that's going to come, he looks at them and he says, I'm leaving. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The good news, guys, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And I'm coming back to take you with me. It's the promise that is what we look forward to, as Paul says over in Thessalonians, where he talks about that one day, at the last day, the last trumpet's going to sound. And the dead who are in Christ, who've already gone before us, are going to raise up out of those graves. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Why? Because the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming back to get his bride. When I first started dating Starla, and I went to see her at her house for the first time, I had to drive a couple hours to go see her over in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I pulled up into their driveway, and their driveway, or her parents' driveway, was a long driveway. And as I'm pulling up, thinking, is this the right house? I put the car in park, and I look up. Right there in my face, running out the door, was Starla. She was excited to see me. Y'all shouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, she was eager to see me. She was sitting in her, as she showed me later, she was sitting up in her room looking out the window, waiting, because she knew I was getting close, waiting. And as soon as she saw my car come down the road, she was downstairs, out the door. And as I was getting out of the door, there she was, giving me a big old hug, ready to see me. She was anxious for her man to come. Kind of like that. Well, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and that that's our blessed hope. We're waiting for that day when he descends from heaven with a shout. And we're to be about our work, carrying out his work, carrying out his will, doing what he's called us to do in this earth, and busy about it, but we'll always have one eye looking up, waiting, expecting for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when he descends from heaven and calls us to himself, so that we are eager, the Bible says, to meet him. John said over in 1 John that that's that he who has that hope in him gets himself ready. He purifies himself, even as the Lord is pure. He looks forward to that moment. And if we have that hope, you and I are always looking up saying, Lord, I can't wait to see you face to face. I can't wait to finally be in your presence. Oh, it's going to be wonderful to be in the fellowship of those that have gone before and to join them together in praising him. But that thing that I'm looking forward to the most is seeing my Savior and bowing at his feet and thanking him for the great salvation that he has given me, that I did not deserve, but he so freely gave. Promise number one to you, believer: if you've put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, this promise is yours. Jesus has said, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. Promise number two: if you put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, this promise is yours. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's your security. You're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Promise number three: if you put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am coming back for you to take you to myself, that we may be together face to face. Believer, those are your promises in this world. There are many more in the scripture, but I love those three. And if you'll think on those, meditate on those, they'll keep you going. They'll keep you going through all the trials of life. But if you're here this morning and you have not trusted Christ as Savior, these promises are not yet yours. They're not yours at all, but they can be. They can be if you will say, you will simply recognize, I'm a sinner, that I can't save myself. No amount of good works that I've done are going to be pleasing to God. None of the things that I try to bring to him and offer him are going to be pleasing to God, but one day I'm going to stand before a holy God and he's going to righteously judge me. And if it's based on who I am, it's my sin that's going to condemn me. But Jesus has made the way. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and he did so by going to the cross, taking my sin upon himself, dying my death, and dying your death in your place. He was buried. He was risen. He is risen again. On the third day, he rose up out of that grave, lives forevermore. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, and one day soon, he's coming back. If you're here this morning, you don't know him as Savior. What you say is, I am a sinner. I need him to save me. I can't save myself. There's only one person that can save me. There's only one name that can save you. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You call upon him. You say, Lord, save me. And the promise of Scripture is that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These promises that we talked about this morning will be yours in Christ if you put your faith and trust in Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Becky's going to come and play. If you're here this morning, you need to make a decision. You say, I've never trusted Christ as Savior. I'd love to pray with you and to share with you how you can know Him personally as Lord and Savior. And I'll be down here at the front. If you're here this morning, and you say, I've been struggling. I'm a believer, Brother Nathan, but I've been struggling. These promises are yours. The Lord has said in the midst of your struggle that He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, and He's coming back to get you. So look up. I'd be happy to pray with you too, that the Lord would strengthen you during this time. If you're here this morning and you've been attending and the Lord's leading you to join our church, now is the time to make that publicly known as well. As Becky plays, you do as the Lord's called you to do.